Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I am so excited to be here with you all today. It's such an honor. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, my name is Rachel. I'm this guy's wife. And I'm just so excited to share what God's put on my heart for you guys today. But first, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. You all are just so amazing. I love watching all of you moms just walk in your calling and just love on and care for your families like you guys do so well. And even if you don't have kids, you're still doing that in other ways. You're still loving and caring for women around you and your friends around you. So we celebrate all of you today. And I also want to recognize, I know it's not always an easy day. It's not always a day full of joy for everybody, and sometimes it can be a day that you don't look forward to. But I just want to remind you that God sees you today, and he's there. And my hope and prayer is that you leave here today feeling encouraged and full of peace and reminded of how loved you are and how God sees you.
Yes.
Today we're going to be talking about identity, and that's something that affects all of us. So it's not just for the ladies today, it's for everybody. And we're going to start in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We are God's masterpiece, right? A masterpiece is a work done with extraordinary skill. We are created by God, the creator, for God's divine purpose. And once we can begin to see that in ourselves and we can begin to believe that, we can do the things that God created us to do and be who God created us to be.
Yes.
And that's something for me personally that took a really long time for me to understand and fully walk out. Identity is kind of weaved throughout my testimony. So I thought I would share my story with you today. You guys always get this guy's version of me, so I was going to give you the Rachel version.
Yeah.
And I would also like to make a note, because he said I can share whatever I want and I can say whatever I want, but I'm going to lead by example today, and I'm going to show him what it's like to be nice and not pick on him and only say positive things about him, because that's who I am. So I am from White Oak, McKeesport area. I was born and raised here. I grew up knowing Jesus. I grew up in church. My church was actually that I used to go to in McKeesport. But so I haven't been here forever, but I've been here for 21 years, I was told. The last one, I was wrong. I did ask. My whole immediate family attends here as well. My parents, my siblings, my grandma, and I have some cousins here now too, which is exciting. But I have a very solid family. As some of you know them, you know. So we grew up in church, and if you knew or were a part of church life back in the day, it was like you were always at church, right? You were always at a church service. There was church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There were extra meetings, cover dish dinners, which what is that? And then like Friday night services. There was always something, choir practices. You were at church all the time. I grew up going to a Christian elementary school. And then later went to McKeesport. So you could say all of that, I had a very solid foundation. I was surrounded by so many amazing people that were loving Jesus and pointing me in the right direction and always directing me in the right way, right? But even in the midst of all of that, I really struggled with my identity. I didn't have a good grasp on who I was in Jesus, but I knew who he was, right? I had a good grasp on who Jesus was and all of the amazing things he had done, but I didn't know who I was in him, which resulted in me spending a good chunk of my youth with just like one foot in the world and one foot in the church, because I was looking for something to define me and say who I was. And if I'm being really honest, it was like half a foot in the church. But I was looking to the world to define me, and that just left me insecure and feeling like I couldn't measure up and that I would never compare and I was never good enough. And I allowed for other people's thoughts of me and all the things that they said to define me and to define how I felt about myself. And that just kept me stuck, right? I wasn't able to see how God saw me. I wasn't able to see what God was calling me to,
right,
because I was focused on the wrong things. And in the midst of that, I met my now husband, who always tells you his side of the story, and it makes me sound really amazing because he met God because of me, right? But I wasn't doing great, and I wasn't really in a great place. So I'm glad God used me in the midst of that, but I wasn't really doing what I needed to be doing. But once he met Jesus and started a relationship with him, something woke up inside of me.
Amen.
And I started walking with God again as well.
Right.
But even so, I was still carrying all of these thoughts and all of these things that were defining me that didn't line up with what Jesus said about me. I was fully walking with Jesus at this point, and I was still allowing for the world to tell me how I felt about myself and to define who I was. You can be fully walking with Jesus and still not understand your worth and still not know who God says you are. And it wasn't until I started replacing the thoughts that were in my mind and the things that were defining me with what God said about me that things began to change. And once I started digging into the Word, I began to understand who I was in Him. Now, do I still struggle with my identity? I absolutely do, right? We're all works in progress. We're all in the process of becoming that masterpiece that God created us to be. So when I think about identity and I think about women in the Bible, Mary's story really challenges me. I know it's not really common to talk about Mary outside of Christmas, so we're going to talk about her in May. But when you think about the calling on her life, and how God used her, it's really amazing, right? God chose her to carry and raise the Savior of the world. And from everything that we understand and we know about Mary, you could say she was a very average person, right? She didn't have anything special about her. She was just living her normal life, and she was just comfortable, right? She was about to get married. Everything was great. And then this angel appeared to her, and God called her out of her normal, everyday life to step out and do something world-changing. Can you even imagine the thoughts that would probably be going through her mind? Because I know where my mind would have gone, and I would have been thinking about everybody else and what everyone was thinking, what they were saying about me. Everyone's going to be talking about me, right? And my first thought probably would have been, like, no one's going to believe me, right? But I would be thinking about my insecurities. I would think about what I was capable of doing or what I felt I was capable of doing. But imagine if Mary would have allowed for fear and insecurity and the opinions of other people to keep her from walking out what God called her to walk out. What if she would have convinced herself that she wasn't good enough, right, or that someone else would do a better job? I'm sure people had so many opinions. I'm sure people were talking all the talks and saying all the things and, you know, just yapping about them. But, and I'm sure there were moments for her that made her question everything and if she should do this, right? But if she would have allowed for that to define her, the fear and insecurity to define her, she would have missed the calling that God placed on her life.
Right.
And I just love so much her response in Luke 1:38, when the angel told her what was going to come about. It says, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true."
Yes.
Her response shows me that Mary's confidence wasn't in herself, right? Her confidence was in God. She trusted who God said she was, and she trusted what God said he would do, right? She didn't need to fully understand every detail. She didn't need to know how it was all going to work out. She just needed to surrender, and she needed to walk in obedience. And because of that, she didn't allow for the thoughts and the opinions and the insecurities to keep her from experiencing everything God had for her, which I find so amazing, right? Because imagine also what God could do through us if we truly found our identity in him instead of the world around us. Because if we don't know who we are, we'll hesitate when God calls us every
right.
single time.
Right.
So how do we find this confidence? How do we have the confidence that Mary had? And what does it look like to find our identity in Christ? I think to fully understand that, we need to first understand that our identity is a gift. It is given to us. It's not something we earn.
Right.
Ephesians 2:8 through 10 says, "God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We're not saved by grace, right? We're not saved by the things we've done. We don't earn our place or our identity. We live in a culture that's constantly telling us that we need to earn what we're given, right? We need to prove ourselves. We need to prove what we can do. But this is a gift. Our identity is a gift. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's sometimes hard for me to just accept gifts. I always just think like, okay, if I get something, I need to reciprocate, and I owe them, right? If I get a birthday gift, I'm instantly trying to figure out when their birthday is so that I can give back to them, right? Or I can figure out when I can randomly bless them because obviously I owe them something, right? But God has been showing off in our family's lives so much lately, and we've been blessed with some major things that there's no way that I can reciprocate, and there's nothing that I can do except accept them and just have a thankful heart, right? And that's exactly what we need to do with our gift of identity. We just need to accept it with a thankful heart for all that he's done for us. Because we can never repay God back for all he's done. Our response is just to follow him with our lives. And when we follow him and give him our lives, we don't need to work for who we are, because it's already been set. Our identity is rooted in what Christ has already done for you on the cross. So it frees you from the need to perform because no matter what, you're a loved child of God, right? No matter what, you're created for his purposes, and no matter what, you're here to do the works of his kingdom. So what a gift that is, right? To be able to walk in freedom and to not have to carry the shame of our old identity. It doesn't define us anymore, because not only are we given identity, we're given a new identity. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. We are a new creation, and we have a new identity, and it's in him. We no longer identify with the sin of our past because we're new, right? We can fully walk in who God created us to be with confidence of who we are in Christ. I just think that's such an amazing gift. So if our identity is a gift, right, why is it so hard for us to live that way? Why do we still feel so insecure and unsure of who we are?
Yeah.
Let me tell you. Because we have a real enemy,
right?
He doesn't want us to walk this out.
Right.
He doesn't want us to do this. And one of the biggest ways that he gets to us is through our thoughts. The enemy can't steal your identity. He can't take it away, but he can't convince you that what God says about you isn't true. So there's patterns and lies in each of our lives that distort what God has already said about you. And he uses tools like the opinions of others and the things that other people are saying about you, or he uses the pain or the things that you've experienced in the past or walked through in your life to keep you feeling angry, keep you feeling guilty and full of shame, and keep you from not being able to move forward and seeing who God created you to be. And he also uses tactics that tell us that we have to earn God's acceptance, right? Or that we don't matter and we're worthless. Or that we've done too many things wrong that we can't be forgiven and we can't do anything right. And he plants these ideas in our mind, just like seeds, right? And then we water them. We water those seeds by repeating it over and over again and continuing to speak it over ourselves. And then eventually it just becomes a part of us. It becomes a part of our identity, and it's just so ingrained in our thinking.
Amen.
So what do we need to do to battle the thoughts? We need to get in the Word.
Yes.
We need to be in the Word. We need to stop measuring ourselves against our feelings and how we feel and start measuring ourselves against the truth. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive. We take every thought captive, right? We put it up against the Word, and we put it up against what God says about us. And we actively replace the lies with Scripture, and we actively speak the truth over ourselves.
Yes.
So that means when you have a thought, and you take that, and you say, does this line up with what God says about me? Because I don't think it does. And the more we do that, and we consistently do that, the truth becomes ingrained in our mind as opposed to the lies that keep us stuck. And the more time we spend with him, the more time we are in the Word, and the more time we are in worship, the lies lose their power in our mind. Philippians 4:8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. We need to fix our thoughts and our minds on truth, and we need to constantly be reminding ourselves of who God does say we are.
Yes. Yes.
So who does he say we are? 1 Peter 2:9 through 10 says, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, and now you received God's mercy." God says we are chosen, right? He wants us. He says we're royalty. He says that we're set apart from the world. We're holy, and we're called to represent him and his purposes, and we belong to him. We're his. And just think about that. Like, let that sink in for a minute. That the creator of the universe only has good things to say about you. He has beautiful things to say about you, but we're over here listening to the lies of the enemy and all the terrible things and just believing them because it's easier, and we want to think the bad things, right? But we need who God says we are so close to our hearts that in moments when you find yourself spiraling into negativity and into a negative headspace and believing those lies, you already have the scripture and you already have it ready to help bring you back to where you need to be. Our son goes to this program. It's a Christian program for kids his age, and I homeschool, so I'm always looking for, like, any opportunity that I can throw him into something. So it's basically like a little mini youth group, but the whole basis of it and the whole point of it is scripture memorization, which I love so much. This child knows so many scriptures. He has them in his heart at such a young age. He doesn't just have them in his heart, too. He understands them, and he knows what they mean. So much so that as we're, like, learning or doing things around the house or we're reading a devotional, he gets so excited whenever he's like, "Oh, that's one of my verses. I know that one," right? And he just rattles it off, and he just, like, is throwing scripture out just so naturally and quickly because it's ingrained in his heart. It's not just in his mind. That's how we need to be in God's word and in the truth. We need to be so quick to spit the truth that the lies lose all power over us. They have no power, and the truth overcomes our minds. So that when thoughts tell you that you're worthless, you could say absolutely not, because Psalm 139 says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And when your thoughts come in and tell you that you're all alone and you don't have anybody, you could say, that's not true, because Hebrews 13 says that God will never leave me nor forsake me, so I'm never alone. And when your thoughts creep in and tell you that you're only defined by your past and your past mistake and that's all you'll be, you could say absolutely not, because that's not who I am. That's who I was. Because 2 Corinthians 5 says I'm a new creation. We need to be ready, and we need to be quick. We need to speak the word against the lies quick to remind ourselves of our identity in him. But negative thinking isn't the only way that we lose sight of our identity. We also lose focus on who God called us to be through comparison. Sorry, this makes me really thirsty. I think comparison is a big one for specifically women. I think we get stuck in comparing all of the things in all of our lives, and social media does not help because we can see it all, right? But comparison's a trap, and it distracts us from our unique purpose that God created us for. And it causes us to either feel superior or inferior, both of which steal our focus and steal our joy. Comparison is a place that I lived in for far too long. If you don't know, I have three brothers. They are all very talented individuals, right? They all have so many skills, and they're so good at so many different things. They're very creative, and they all have, like, creativity skills in different areas, and they can just do anything, right? And then they went and married these three amazing women that are also very talented. They're very creative, and they just complement each other so well, and they all are just so good at what they do, right? And somehow they're all photographers or videographers, and they can all, like, do this. And I'm over here like, okay, God, like, why didn't I get that one? Like, my pictures are just pictures. They're not, like, these beautiful works of art. But it's fine. And then I went and married this guy who is also amazing. Are you taking notes? This is nice. He's also amazing, and he can literally do anything. Like, he comes up here and speaks to you guys just so easily, and, like, I forget the weight of it because I'm over here wanting to throw up for 2 months, and he's just up here every single week, like, just doing it because he's just so confident in who he is, right? But he has so many skills, and he can literally pick up a new skill, like, tomorrow, and then he's just, like, excellent at it. I'm just like, that's really great. And I admire it. I really do. I admire it, and I admire all of them. They're all amazing. But for so many years of my life, I would just compare myself to them. I was looking at their giftings next to my giftings, and their giftings look so much cooler and more obvious. And I'm just over here like, well, I can encourage you. But, like, no one really sees that, right? It's not something that's as obvious as what they're all doing. But I couldn't see my purpose anymore because I was constantly comparing who I was to them, right? And then I would take my complaints to God, as I always do, and I would say, like, why didn't you create me like that? Why can't I do those things? Why am I not able to do that? Why can't I take pictures, right? And every single time, God would say, well, I created you to do different things.
Right.
And every time I'd be like, okay, but, like, what? What is it? I don't see it, right? Because I can't do what they can do, because that's all I could see. That was what I was focused on. And he would say it again, I created you to do different things. But I could not accept that answer. I would just focus on what I wasn't able to do instead of what I was able to do and who God created me to be. I didn't understand who I was or who God called me to be, so I was getting caught up in who everyone else was and who God called them to be.
Right.
When we focus on the gifts we don't have and we focus on what we can't do, we miss what God created us to do. I was so focused that I couldn't see my purpose anymore. I couldn't see my calling, and I couldn't move forward. I stayed stuck. In Galatians 6, 4 through 5 says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. We just need to stay in our lane, right? We need to stay focused on what God has placed in front of us. We don't need to look to the right or left and see what everyone else is doing, because comparison distracts us from who God called us to be. So stay focused on who God is calling you to be and not everyone around you. God created you for a specific reason and a specific purpose. The enemy attacks our identity because if he can keep you insecure and if he can keep you distracted or comparing, he could keep you from walking in that purpose. If we go back to Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are God's masterpiece, created for good works and planned long ago. God intentionally designed you. And nothing about you is an accident. And every single piece of you matters and has a purpose.
Right.
A masterpiece is made intentionally, right? And it's something, like, if something is missing from a masterpiece, you notice. Every detail matters. Every detail has a purpose. And God didn't accidentally create you the way he did. Everything about you was on purpose, your personality, your experiences, your testimony, your gifts, and your voice. They are all pieces of what God wants to use you for in the kingdom. And if you spend your life wishing that you were someone else or comparing or believing the lies that overtake your mind, you'll never fully walk in who God created you to be.
Right.
Mary could obey because she knew who she belonged to. She didn't have all the answers. She didn't even know what was going to happen or how it was going to happen and how it would all turn out, but she trusted God enough to say yes. Knowing who you are in Christ produces confidence, and confidence in God leads to obedience.
Right.
When I first found out about this amazing opportunity to speak with you all today, I cried for a week. I wish I was more spiritual than that. I told myself I was going to pray for a week, and then I just cried. And then once I recovered, I told myself, like, we're not going to go negative. We're not going to say anything negative about ourselves because I know what that does to me, and it takes me way longer to pull myself out of the pit of negativity than it would have to just stay focused, right? So I was like, no negative words. I've grown so much. I'm doing so great. But then, like, 4 days ago, that all went out the window, and I said every single thing that I wanted to say to myself. But then the next natural thing that I did was I compared, but I did it in, like, a really positive spiritual way because I was like, God, I'm a really good listener. Like, you created me to listen. You didn't create me to speak. So there's a lot of people in this campus that love to talk, and they have a lot of wisdom and a lot of good things to say, and they would do such an amazing job. So, like, I was obedient, and I said, yes, but if you could take it away, that would be great, and then we can move forward. But he said no, and then he said that I need to do difficult things. I need to do things that I need to fully rely on him so that he can pull things out of me and so that I can grow and he can stretch me into who he called me to be. Because when we push ourselves beyond ourselves and out of our comfort zones and do the things that might feel difficult so that we actually need to fully rely on him and we actually need to trust him, it allows him to use us as the vessel that he created, right? And he can use us as that perfect piece of the masterpiece that we are. So by taking steps of obedience into whatever God is calling you into personally, that's where God can show you who he created you to be. So we need to stop needing everyone's approval. Yep. We need to stop comparing. We need to stop waiting until we feel good enough and just simply say, yes, God, if you called me, I trust you. And allow him to use you just as he created you. Amen. I just want to leave you with some things to reflect on as we get ready to leave here today. What would happen if we truly believed what God says about us? How would that change how we walk daily? What purpose are we missing because of fear or insecurity holding us back? And what could God do through us if we fully surrendered like Mary did? I just want to pray for you all before Pastor Nick makes his way up here. But Father God, I just thank you so much, Lord. God, I thank you for all of your sons and daughters that are in this place. God, I thank you for the beautiful masterpieces that they are, God. And I just thank you that you created them so perfectly, God. And I just pray that you would just allow us to leave here today and show us how to walk in confidence and obedience and that it would be rooted in you and who you called us to be, God. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would just shift our mindsets as we leave here today, Lord, and that you would just bless each and every single person in this room, Lord.